U.S. Chess Executive Board open session for Sunday, August 11th, 2019, Orlando, Florida. Mr. President.
Okay, call this open board meeting. I didn't want to say that.
This is good.
That's the punchy thing.
Part of the purpose of this is we had a closed board meeting session, and we have a number of motions to deal with. And I think we'll go ahead and get those dealt with first, and then we may have a couple of comments to make after this work is resolved. Mr. Secretary.
Okay, we have five motions that came out of closed session. Number one. The Executive Board names the following officers for 2019-2020. Ellen Preece, President. Randy Bauer, Vice President. Chuck Unruh, Vice President of Finance. Mike Neaton, Secretary.
Can you slow down, Mike?
Same as last time.
No changes last year.
So the motion out of close was Ellen Preece, President. Randy Bauer, Vice President. Chuck Unruh, Vice President for Finance. And Mike Neaton, Secretary. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Seeing none, the motion passes unanimously. The next motion for closed session.
All right, the next motion is to move around some committees a bit here, make some committee structural changes. All right, first of all, create a programs committee. The members of the committee will be the chairs of the program area subcommittees. That will become clearer after I read the third motion. Okay, second on that one, eliminate the Denker and Barber Committee and create the Scholastic Invitational Committee, which will oversee the Denker and Barber. Yeah. Eliminate the Outreach Committee. Eliminate the International Affairs Committee. Rename the Awards Committee to the Recognition Committee, which will oversee U.S. Chess Awards and Hall of Fame nominations. Divide the Kramer Awards Committee into the Recognitions Committee, and rename the PBHB Fund Management to PBHB Claims Committee.
The PBHB stands for Professional Players Health Benefits.
Would you mind repeating that? Sorry, I'm sorry.
How much of it?
Everything after good evening.
These will all be up on the website as well, for two up along, but we'll be happy to repeat.
All right,
yeah, just do it one at a time, and we'll hesitate after each one.
The second part moves the following committee changes. All right, first one, we are creating a programs committee. The members of the committee will be the chairs of the program area subcommittees.
The purpose of this is to integrate programs so that we don't have them siloed. For example, we have the senior committee that is interested in doing certain things that may involve women. We have the women's committee over here doing those things on their own. So this integrates those operations. So we've looked at all the programming committee areas, and I alluded to this in my president's report, and put them all under one umbrella. The vision is that the subcommittees in these areas may be a bit smaller than the existing committees of that. The area subcommittee chairs will form the programming committee. I'm a Methodist, so this works real well for me. Any of y'all who are familiar with the Methodist Church, there is this structure, you know, so where you've got all the different people who are doing something, they get together in the same room so they talk. So this is what it's for coordination of programming stuff. And the thing about it is we've really not done that well. You know, we've had all this stuff siloed, and we need to bring some synergies to it as we do things together. So that's what we're trying to accomplish there. Go ahead, Mr. Secretary.
Okay, the next two kind of go together, so I'll read it together. Eliminate the Denker and Barber committees and create the Scholastic Invitational Committee, which will oversee the Denker and Barber.
Those two were again, they had all the same people and they did the same thing and they worked together for an event that was on the same weekend. Duh.
Eliminate the outreach committee?
That one, we talked with the Liebermans. We, you know, they've certainly been very gracious and remain available. We think a lot of that stuff's gonna tie in under the program committee area. And so we're gonna be talking to you all about giving us some hands with some of the stuff over in the programming area.
Eliminate the International Affairs Committee?
The International Affairs Committee really never was a separate committee and wasn't supposed to be. It's really an advisory group as we deal with VDA stuff. So we bring, you know, heads of people on that who, because they've had some VDA experience that was extremely long time ago. And so we've essentially had a working group doing that. We'll continue to do that. It will involve our VDA delegate, excuse me, officers of the executive board, people who have been elected to various or appointed to various VDA commissions. We'll be working together most closely as a team in that area, particularly this year because there's some big changes to VDA that we'll be talking about at the end. Go ahead.
Rename the awards committee to the recognition committee, which will oversee U.S. Award and Hall of Fame nominations.
Again, we have two different groups that are kind of in a little bit of the same space. We're putting those together, and as we talked about in the delegates meeting, restoring the role that U.S. Chess has played in submitting nominations to the Chess Trust for the Hall of Fame.
Combine the Kramer Awards Committee into the Recognitions Committee.
Kramer Awards has been just sort of dormant and it involves an award, so we put them together.
And the last one is rename PPHB Fund Management to PPHB Claims Committee.
Because they've been, the role of that is to review claims made for professional players' health benefits. The management of the funds and the investment side we've lumped together with the reserve fund and with, it will be included with some of the endowment fund, and we have an investment committee. A number of the people who are involved in the claims review process may be great for that, but they're not the investment committee people. And I will guarantee you the people on the investment committee side do not need to be reviewing these claims. The good news is we haven't had a claim in 3, 4, or 5 years. So, you know, with all luck, we won't, because that'll mean we have people who don't need these resources. But to the extent that we do, we have some people who are a little more oriented that way to look at those claims. That's the end of the motion. That help? All right. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, the next motion defines the program committee subcommittees. The executive board redesignates the following executive board committees as program area subcommittees. Five of them in all here. Women's Chess, Senior, Accessibility and Special Circumstances, College Chess, and Military.
Instead of these being standalone committees now, they will be subcommittees of program. The chairs of those will comprise the program committee. Okay? Program committee, who we'll name later, is going to have a chair whose job will be to pull all those disparate parts together. Not every single one of them will work on the same thing. They still have their own areas of expertise, but where we can bring them together to provide synergy across different areas, lessons learned, coordinate events between the different groups, we'll do that. Certainly, if this group sees the opportunity and wanted to revive something like prison chess services, this would be the place to house it. Instead of it being its own deal, it would be part of this overall programming thing. So for example, if the programming committee wanted to coordinate a senior event dealing with prisoners, that would be where this would happen. It would come across both of those areas. We were sort of making a joke because we were a little punchy. We got some people that would fit into multiple ones of these categories. You know, you can just sort of picture it, right?
Mr. President, I'd add that as all the members may recall, the the U.S. Chess objectives and goals that we list on our website. The purpose of realigning these subcommittees as we've listed them helps in focusing all those subcommittees on different objectives and goals that U.S. Chess Federation has laid out there, and they can prioritize those objectives among the available resources that we have to gain some synergy in the available resources.
Can I make one other
please.
Comment?
Please.
So I spend most of my professional life in budgeting, and one of the things that you find in organizations that are responsible for developing budgets that have programmatic purposes is you do better when you bring the categories together, that there can be this kind of overlap and synergy. So instead of having silos, you provide opportunities for them to work together. This, by creating a overarching committee that ties together these subcommittees, we have a much better opportunity of doing that.
And in the budget that y'all approved, you approved an allocation of funding for the operations of the program committee in the tune of $25,000. Excuse me. You approved a funding of it in the tune of $25,000 that was in the budget. Are there any further comments on this from board members? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Next, sir.
The next motion is our list of committees with the naming of the chair and the EB liaisons.
Hold it there for just a second. Before he reads that off, and some of you will go, oh my gosh, what have they done? We have been pushing hard for chair rotations, right? And there are some people who have been chairs of particular committees for a really, really long time. Some of those people are being moved away from some of those chairs, not off of those committees or subcommittees necessarily, but into members of it. And then we'll give some other folks an opportunity to be the chairs. None of that is a reflection. Say that again. None of that is a reflection of the performance of a particular chair. But I would submit to you, it is not good for this organization when we have someone who chairs a committee for 10, 15, 20 years. We do not develop the bench strength. And this is something that we've been doing in the organization as a whole. You know, this is one of those change things. And change can be disruptive, and it can hurt people's feelings and all that kind of stuff. I hope this does not. And it is an activity that we continue to pursue. Not everyone who has been a long-term chair is moved out of that role right now. But our goal over the next year or two or three is going to be turn over all of the long-term chairs. If we have been advocating it, and some of us on the executive board have, and it's certainly come up in the GTF, to ask the delegates to put that in place for the delegate-appointed committee, then we certainly think we should be following it here if we think it's such a grand idea. We have started that process a little bit last year. That pace is accelerating this year. So I just want to put that out there for you so that none of y'all get all excited here in just a minute. So go ahead there, Mr. Secretary.
Okay, so what I've done here is I've inserted the programs committee on top of my list and moved the five subcommittees up underneath that. Since there's a few renames here, I don't have this in exactly an alphabetic order any longer. So bear with me here. I'll read it from top to bottom. The first name will be the chair, and in certain instances there are co-chairs or vice chairs, I'll also name those. Then I will name EB liaisons. If I name two, the first one is the primary liaison, the second is the alternate. And there's a couple of cases where we just have one liaison. Okay, so the program committee itself, the chair is going to be Bill Brock, and the EB liaisons are Andy Bauer and Chuck Dunrow. Accessibility and special circumstance, Janelle Lozoff, chair, Martha Underwood, vice chair, Ryan Velez, liaison. College chess, Kelly Bloomfield, chair, Mike Beekman, liaison. Military, Sarah Walsh, Chair, Mike Hoffpower, liaison. Senior, David Grimaud, Chair, Chuck Unruh, liaison. Women's Chess, Kimberly New, Chair, Ryan Blez, liaison.
That's all the program committees have, right?
That is the end of the program committee.
And those are all subcommittees. So.
Can I interrupt you for a second? What you've seen there is each subcommittee, which are smaller, have one liaison. The program umbrella has two. And you know who we put in chair of it? The guy who has been announcing broadly in forum posts for 3 or 4 years now, let's get going with programming. And we have called and talked to Bill. He's not able to be here, so this was not a case of the guy who could not attend who got stuck with his job.
But he did.
No. But he did, yeah. I said, Bill, you know, if you're going to keep talking, we're going to put you to work in the area. Go ahead.
Okay, continuing with committees. Competition Integrity, Gary Walters, Mike Hoffpower, Paul Spreckler. Audit Committee, John Haskell, Chuck Unruh, Alan Priest. Recognitions, John McCrary, Al Spreckman, Chuck Unruh. Scholastic Invitational Committee, John Haskell, Mike Niepman, Mike Hoffpower. Bylaws, co-chairs of Guy Hoffman, Richard Kepke, Vice Chair Harold Winston, liaisons Alan Priest, Randy Bauer. Clubs, Judith Sitari, and Ryan Velez, Al Spreckman. Elections, again, these are the next couple are delegate appointed. We haven't found the chair yet, so TBD to be determined. For elections, liaisons are myself, Mike Niepman, and Alan Priest.
Because we're term limited in our run.
In ethics also is TBD with Mike Hoffpower and Hal Spreckman liaison. FIDE events, TBD, and Mike Hoffpower and Hal Spreckman liaison. Finance, Jim Beatenbaugh, Chuck Unruh, Randy Bauer. PPHB claims, Steve Emmett, Randy Bauer, Chuck Unruh. Ratings, Tom Doan, Mike Hoffpower, Mike Niepman. Rules, Ken Ballou, Chair, Al Lozoff, Vice Chair, Mike Hoffpower, Alan Priest, you were shaking. Scholastic, Sunil Weeramantre and Beatrice Marinello, co-chairs. Mike Niepman, Ryan Velez, liaison. States and affiliates, Richard Kepke, co-chair, Alex Relia, co-chair, Mike Hoffpower, Chuck Hunter. Top players, Tatev Abrahamian, co-chair, along with Robert Hess, co-chair, Alan Priest and Ryan Velez. Tournament director certification, Alex Relia, chair, Jeff Wewell, vice chair, Mike Hoffpower, Alan Priest. U.S. Chess Development Committee, John D. Rockefeller, fifth. No liaisons at this point. U.S. Open is Hal Terry III, along with Hal Spreckman and Mike Niepman.
The reason why the Development Committee has no liaisons will become very clear in just a moment.
That's it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, the last motion that came out of close now is a series of additions and removals from various committees. So in no particular order here, we'll go down it. Executive Board makes the following committee membership changes. Women's, add Janelle Lozoff and Robin Ramson, remove Harold Winston, Phil Chase, Angelina Velikovskaya, Heather Flewelling, Russell Harwood, and Sophia Rode. On the rules, remove Jabari McGreen. Clubs, add Joey Troy and Steve Emmett. Remove Rob Jones, Will Barella, Dino Bonaldi, Charles Carreros, Anthony Corrales, Klaus Johnson, Thomas Maher, Frank Nero, Kenneth Poole, Bob Rasmussen, Mark Reyes, Tony Rich, Thad Rogers, Ed Sasaki, Augustine Valverde, Dennis Wykus, Marion Wykus, and Eric Usman. PPHB claims at Sophia Road. Recognitions. We are naming this committee as, and again, John McCrary was already noted up above his chair. Naming to the committee, Randy Huff, Bill Wedgeberg, Walter Brown, John Hilbert, Andy Soltis, Sophia Rode, Pete Tamburo, and Fred Wilson. Scholastic Council, remove Eric Vigil and Joel Lonsdale. They will go to the committee. Add Jeff Bullington and Judith Stattari from the committee to the council. Scholastic Committee, remove Steve Shaughnessy, Mark Wood, Jennifer Skidmore-Smith, and Rusty Harwood. Add Kevin Connell, Sophia Rode, and Kevin Fight. Development Committee, add Alan Priest, Chuck Unruh, Randy Bauer, and Mike Hoffbauer. Remove Sunil Wiramontra. FIDE Events, add Tony Rich. Sand.
To explain a couple of things, there is a fundamental incompatibility, and we've talked about that at some length with our friends over at the Chess Trust, and they have agreed with us, between serving on the development here and working for fundraising there too. And Steve and I had a long conversation about that. We had some legal guidance and that created problems. Steve Doyle and I had some long conversations about that when we met on Thursday and agreed that was the best way to handle that. So there were two individuals that were affected by that. One was Mr. Rockefeller, the other one was Mr. Wiramontre. And in those cases, we just said, y'all decide where you want to fall. And so Sunil wanted to stay working with the trust and not on the development committee. And of course, still active in other places in U.S. Chess, like being a co-chair of the Scholastic Council. And John wanted to remain as the chair of the development committee here. Four, a majority of the board, have been added as members to the development committee because we have to be involved with that. In most nonprofits, board members are heavily responsible for development, and we're going to be here too. But there are other people still on the development committee. The only person coming off the committee from before is Sunil, based at his request. One of the other changes that goes in there, the awards committee, the chair, Mr. McCrary, was recommended by Mr. Doyle to oversee that effort for both awards and the Hall of Fame. That was his recommendation. The other members of the old Hall of Fame committee that were part of the Chess Trust as trustees are not serving on that. Again, that's part of the discussion that Mr. Lawrence and Mr. Doyle and the three of us had on Thursday that I've referred to a number of times. That committee or subcommittee of that group making recommendations to the group that approves it seemed to be a bit of a problem. And it did not match with how Mr. Doyle had talked about how that ought to be organized. It was organized in the very beginning. So that's the poor reason for that change. Hold on just a minute, I'll get you. Flip that down just a moment. Oh. Clubs, there were a whole lot of people sitting on clubs, and that's because we've been trying to get the clubs committee going. All the people who got removed from it had either not expressed an interest in it or hadn't done anything on it in some time. So that's, we're making a whole big bunch of change there, trying to get that window down into a group that can be very, very active. That was the last comment I wanted to make. Harold.
All right, you took off from your new committee three people who had been active on the Hall of Fame.
You should go to the microphone.
You did not include in your new committee three people who had been active in the Hall of Fame committee and had no connection with the trust, particularly John Donaldson, who was the vice chairman and was extremely active and has been active for many years, and I strongly protest his removal. You also took off Frank Camerata, who had been the very first chairman of the Hall of Fame committee, and Jennifer Shahad, who was active on that committee as well. So I'm very disappointed in the executive board making those decisions, particularly with Donaldson, who I had recommended to be the chairman.
Well, the chairman was who the trust had recommended.
No, Mr. Doyle recommended.
Mr. Doyle had recommended. That's fair. And you had told me that Mr. Doyle spoke for the trust. And Mr. Camerata has been experiencing a number of health problems and had asked to step down from multiple activities within U.S. Chess. Jennifer Shahad is a staff member. And Jennifer Shahad, we had not put staff members on to committees. So it was not appropriate to have a staff member on the committee. As staff support for the committee, may Jennifer still be involved? Yes.
Can I make a comment too? You have to realize, Harold, that we're constituting a committee from multiple committees, and we're trying to keep the size of the committees at a level that is reasonable for the work that they have to do, and they have multiple things that they have to do. I heard in one of the workshops that an optimal size for a committee is 4 to 9 members. So, you know, not everybody is going to serve on a committee. That's the case. And in this instance, these are the people we thought that we could pull all these three committees together and make a reasonable amalgamation.
I have not received an answer why John Donaldson, who was super active and vice chair of the Hall of Fame,
we don't have to give an answer, Harold. These are the people we've nominated.
Again, we've worked with John, and he's fine, but we have a need to pull all of these groups together and get representation from multiple places, and in this instance, that's what we did.
I think you made a very big mistake in omitting John Donaldson.
So noted.
I'm very disappointed in the executive.
You've already said that twice. So you no longer have it. Any other comments?
I noticed you named Gary Walters as the chair of the, I guess, Competition Integrity Committee, but I don't recall you naming any members in this.
We're not naming, we are only naming members who have changed.
Oh, okay, so that means no change if nothing was stated.
Correct. Mr. Coons.
Dave Coons, Minnesota, and former chair of the Rules Committee. I appreciate you limiting the terms greatly. I was chair for 19 years for the Rules Committee. Far, far too long. I finally stepped down. I was burned out. And so therefore, I applaud the board for those term limits.
Mr. Messenger.
Bob Messenger, New Hampshire. Is there still a forum committee?
There never really was a forum committee, okay? It had gotten listed as a committee, but it really wasn't a committee. So the forum moderators still form a group, and you still have two liaisons to that group, and they have not changed. But we're just delisting it as a committee because people think that, like, they could go get on that committee, and they don't. It will be up to you and I and the others as to whether we think at this meeting next year there's a reason to do something like have a workshop for feedback. You'll notice that we had a couple of other workshops that were not directly related to a committee. There was a communications workshop, for example, and there's not a communications committee. It was largely staff driven. And I think we had one other like that. So where we're headed.
Mr. President, the other one we had was the education one, which for the record was fantastic.
Yeah, and so for example too, that, you know, we had a big deal at the meeting about chess and education. Well, what we talked about with the Scholastic Council, Scholastic Committee, is broadening their thought process instead of just being tournaments into looking at education as well. All these people are educators who are associated with it.
Well, Alan, as you know, we had a very small turnout at the forum workshop this year. So if we're up to me, I would say don't hold a forum workshop.
That's a discussion for another day, Bob.
Okay, and the other question then, if you delisted the forum committee, does that mean I don't need to submit the forum report for the next year's delegates?
We'll discuss that. That's a discussion for another day. Okay. We also delisted another one that hasn't gone away. It really shouldn't have been in there as a committee, and that's the investment committee providing oversight to the reserve fund, endowment fund, and PPHB money investments. That group hasn't changed, but it's really not a
committee. It's a group that's advised by our vice president of finance, and there is an investment group on the inside of it. You know, as he puts together plans, we're approving very much like we're doing with the LMA, but it just didn't, it's not, it got listed there because we had a very enthusiastic governance person, and I don't blame her at all, but, you know, we're trying to focus on the things that we're really allowing a lot of people to be involved with. Anything else? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion passes. So those are the five motions that we came out of close. You know, change is hard. I said that. Change can hurt people's feelings. Change can be difficult. I get it. And one of the jobs of this body is to disrupt things sometimes. And that makes life harder. But we are committed to continuing to do the changes that are necessary for this organization to fully embrace its 501c3 mission, for us to be about making things different in the world. Because that's really what we're about. The morphing of this organization is proceeding from it being one that is perceived just to be about over-the-board tournament chess, right? That's the perception for years, but what we are doing is becoming bigger than that. We're about, what's the little slogan with the mission statement again, right? Empower
people, enrich lives, and enhance communities through chess.
Yeah. Empower people, enhance lives.
Enrich lives.
Enrich lives, enhance communities through chess. Does that involve over-the-board play? Darn tune, it does. Does it involve rated chess? Absolutely it does. Does that involve scholastics? Absolutely it does. Does that involve people coming across some of those silos to work together? Sure it does. Does it become about putting grant money out to local communities to try new ideas, to give them opportunities, maybe develop a program that works nationwide? Absolutely it is. This is hard. This is hard on the organization. This is heavy lifting stuff. We're committed to doing it. I'm sorry if during the process that it changes some people's lives a little bit. I hope what it does is change a whole lot of people's lives in some really, really profound ways. That's what our goal is. So now, the goal that we're doing is the goal that the delegates gave us to do. That's what we're trying to accomplish. Well, I hear the music is playing, which means that it's time for us to go. I know. So we're going to do a few items now just to wrap up, and then we'll be done with our meeting today.
Yeah, well, actually, this is fairly significant. The Scholastic Council has met three times this week for about 10 hours, well into the night, and with the goal of trying to produce an updated Scholastic regulations for the next school year. There are significant changes. Executive Board has been emailed the latest document. If you're able to open that up, I'm just going to recap the major changes or the changes that we've got. And I want to thank Mike Hoffpower for doing the secretarial work and making all of the changes and whatnot. He does a fantastic job maintaining the document for us and for the committee and council. Some of the major changes that are in here are that we are bringing the all-girls nationals into the regulations. That is part of the agreement that U.S. Chess has made with the Kasparov Chess Foundation that is the sponsor of that event. So we added several lines in several different areas with that event. Other changes include implementing the new U.S. chess policy for electronic devices, although we haven't actually approved that yet, so there's a placeholder and an appendix for that. Section 1.1, due to initiative this year, we are adding a common sense clause to be a catch-all kind of thing to in case something's not in the document. Let's see here. Eligibility to play on a member school team, that has to do with transfer issues. We've added a section on that. revise the section on the Junior High Nationals K-9 Championship. We're making a major change, we're making a major change to that event as far as the sections. We are eliminating K-8 sections and rolling everything into a K-9. And I think Sunil spoke on the floor to eventually, after the next Super Nationals, possibly change it back to a K-8, but also then at the same time change the elementary to a K-5 instead of K-6. So we're not making that change at this time, we're only making the change in the K-9.
And as you may remember, that aligns with what Dwayne Barber mentioned with the changes in the Barber and the new Rockefeller tournament.
Right. Let's see, we're adding some additions for chest location. Basically, we're going to be requiring the score sheets that will be provided by the tournament to be used in the events, with some exceptions. Other significant changes happened at this event, actually here this weekend at the Invitational, so we're going to roll this send this into the regulations also about people being, persons under the age of 18 are not allowed to check in at hotels. That's just hotel policy. It's not really our policy, but we're just emphasizing it. A little bit of work was done on U.S. Generator supplement to be used for various national events. Section 12.5 clarifies over the board rating systems to review for player ratings. That's Mike has created a sniffer algorithm that we discussed at the workshop the other day, and so there's some documentation of that in here.
Yeah, the big change there is that last year we applied it in the under sections at the Spring Nationals to identify players who probably don't belong in an under section that they're in. Now that sniffer algorithm is also going to be used in all the sections, so that players can get, if where necessary, be tagged for a potential higher assigned rating, which would then affect their eligibility for prizes.
Okay, and some of the minor changes that are being incorporated, we're going to ask the players to keep their score sheets on the table at all times. There's some issues about, or some guidance on leaving the playing floor to use the lavatory. Quantities of trophies and awards were adjusted slightly, especially in the junior high area with redo there. And the big thing here is that in the unrated sections of the three Spring Nationals, so there's an unrated section, there's going to be no team trophies in those sections, only individual trophies in the unrated section. And then the last thing that just administrative update is to accept all of the changes that were made a year ago that had been highlighted. We turned those to white. Got rid of all of the old cross-offs things that were removed last year have now been removed. And anything that is cross-off in this one now is fresh material to that will be deleted next year. But we're just keeping it in there to show you what it has been deleted. So I don't know if we can vote on that. I don't know if we've had a chance to take a good look at that. But the goal here is to try and get this document finalized and put it up on the website by September 1.
Are there any other comments?
Okay. Mike thinks we should vote by email here in the next week or so if everybody has a chance to take it. It's about a 45-page document.
Yeah,
so
we got really, really short here. But it's a dead run to get it done. That's not a criticism of the Scholastic Council. The goal is to try to get it here and make sure that we can get it approved before school starts, because it applies to the stuff during the school year. A couple of the major changes that Mike alluded to, one would require the organizer of the events would require the use of provided score sheets. The anticipated way that's going to work is they're not going to be in the program booklet, they're going to be separate pages. So we'll free up some space in the program booklet. If any of you all are familiar, there's usually seven ones in there. The problem is after about 20 minutes, there's program booklets all over the room, and people forget them and lose them and all that kind of stuff. So we'll be providing the score sheets. That'll also mean they can't use their own. Can't use your own bound book of 50 games, because we have issues of looking back behind those, and people think that's a problem. Won't be using electronic notation devices, unless there is a disability allowance for that. So, and that's already provided for in the rules that the organizer can do that, and quite frankly, is the standard in FIDE. So we're conforming to some FIDE issues here too.
Another exception, I believe, is the K-1 section. You know, they have an electronic device there if that's possible. But we're also going to provide score sheets, and Ryan has created a score sheet of his own that he uses that has been acceptable now, and he's going to give us a PDF of that, so we'll be able to print that out using the K1 sections. It's a different kind of score sheet, but it's still sufficient under the rules.
Which works really well for those who aren't quite as adept at writing. Another part of this is the intention to require that any electronic devices that are in the room are left off, left on the table, or left in the bag underneath, which would include things like smartwatches, which now can communicate with the internet. Mr. Weremont.
Mike, I thought I heard you say that we made an exception for the K1. We did make an exception earlier, but then when we went with the score sheets, it provides, yes, there was no electronic in K1.
Okay, no electronic.
So we have Ryan Melissa's score sheet, which will make it a little bit easier for kids who can't write if they want that option. But that's not that
okay.
Exception.
I would say.
Electronic voting for that for the board is open. Under our policies, electronic voting must be held open for 7 days. At which time, if no one has voted, they will report it as having no vote. So we'll get it reviewed this week. We'll get a vote finalized by next weekend, and then we'll be ready to run with these to be published for this new school year. Is that acceptable to everybody? That work? Okay, good. Move on to the next one, please.
Okay, the next one is also a classic item, but because of the fact that we spent 3 evenings, 10 total hours on the regulations, we never got to the next one here. So I'm gonna put this on the table for a week or so. And it's to re-look at the Scholastic National Invitational Event and Award Requirements. It's a separate page, or separate web page, I should say, off of the Scholastics. And we just ran out of time to get to it this week. So we're going to send it out again to the Scholastic Council, and we'll have that back to the board within a week to 10 days.
Our goal in that has been to merge the two invitational processes together as much as possible. Because what we had before is we had 2 really separate lists, and we had some really good definitions of terms over here in the main invitational list that were a little more vague on the Scholastic side. So we've been working to get those pulled together and a little more uniform. So go ahead.
Next item is comments and questions from the audience.
I had 2 comments. One, I personally would like to follow the U.S. Chess's lead with the score sheets, and I'm hoping maybe if they made an official policy statement on their website, when people complain to me in my tournaments about not being able to use their devices, I'd like to point to the U.S. Chess website and say we're following their policy, because I think it's a good policy. And maybe that's something that can be prominently, you know, a change that can be prominently posted. So, because I personally would like to do it, but I'd rather not be the first one to take the heat. So that would be nice to be able to say we're following the U.S. Chess's lead in this respect. So maybe that would be something you could consider, because I think it's maybe well past the time that this idea has already come. But still is here. And the other thing I was going to add, perhaps request, is for people on committees and for chairs, especially those who are new to both positions, will the board consider some kind of a primer, like a basic, you know, this is what you do, or what we would like to see from a committee chair and a committee member. This can be very basic, but that's something that might be helpful when we're doing like committee reports at the end of the year.
First of all, to that end, committees have charters, and the charters outline what they're supposed to be about and what they're supposed to be doing. You also have liaisons. Every committee has 2. Some of these program area subcommittees, all the program area subcommittees have 1, but that's the other job of that liaison, is to help you work through that. And we also have staff resources in the office that are assigned to support, I'm looking at Carol, to support these different committees as they go. So if there's some, if you need some help in that area, contact the office and we'll help get you sorted out. Just don't expect to be able to call up the office and get an answer from the person assigned to you right that minute. Your person may not be physically present in Crossville.
I also wanted to add that, you know, regarding what Steve just said, it's not just a U.S. chess policy. We're actually kind of taking a lead from D-Day on that one. So it's, you could actually cite D-Day and U.S. chess because we're trying to get in line with that. And I just, you know, you also have the regulations to point to because they'll be in there.
And classic regulations. This is provided for in the rule book. We're not creating something new, not really creating. I'm sorry?
Sorry.
So you know, the organizer has always been able to require the use of the scoring sheet that they provide. Corey.
Thank you. Corey Cormick, Tennessee. Again, I appreciate the Scholastic Council and their multitudinous amounts of work on these regulations. I just wish to speak again regarding the score sheet issue. Again, I understand there's a multitudinous of different topics and things that are trying to be resolved by the providing the score sheets. I guess I'm just a little concerned about a few of the unintended consequences, and one particular again being, I don't know if anybody had consulted regarding the book and equipment vendor for national events. My background again is both in coaching as well as equipment sales. I know we've worked with Member for Les as well. A significant portion of national events sales are scorebooks, and if scorebooks are also going to be prohibited through this regulation, I suspect there's going to be a little bit of some concern there.
The answer to your question is yes. The book and the bookstore vendor for events has been discussed. This has been discussed with them.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Comments rather to the Scholastic Council and the Rules Committee. I don't know that there was any official communications. In fact, I was chair of the Rules Committee for 19 years. There hasn't been much communication between the Scholastic Council and the Rules Committee. I would like the Scholastic Council to coordinate their efforts where there are Scholastic regulations that differ from the printed regulations in the rule book. And from that standpoint, I think a lot of work needs to be done relative to that, because there are several areas in the Scholastic regulations that are contrary. Now, yes, they follow the rules because they publish them in advance. That's true, but we would like an opportunity to discuss those differences.
Thank you. I think our committee liaisons to both those groups have noted, and one of the co-chairs is here for the Scholastic. Anything else? Steve, I didn't bring the note button down, but I'm fixing to go get it.
I just wanted to address something Corey said. I don't know if it completely answers his concerns, but you are still able to record your moves in the scorebook after the game is over. If you want to keep a centralized book, you can take a carbon copy of the score. That's what we tell the players in FIDE tournaments. We don't accept the score books. Here's Carbon's copy. We get a copy because FIDE says we get the white copy. And if you want to use your books, you can. So that may not be as convenient, but it does not eliminate the usage of the score books. It just makes an extra step.
You can certainly go and even enter that into an electronic notation box as well.
And there's no reason why, well, time-wise there is, but there's no reason why a player cannot use two score sheets.
I think you're going to find in the regulations here it's not going to allow that for the events. Anything else? Seeing none, we will move on.
Next meeting date.
I don't have that right.
Next meeting date.
Thank you very much. Here are our projected meeting dates during this next business year. Last year, in the fiscal year just ended, we had added an extra board meeting because we had business we thought we needed to cover. We have removed that from our schedule this year with the recognition that we may have to add one back in. That might come in person, but more likely would be done by phone. November 16, 17, in Louisville, Kentucky. January 17th through the 19th, which is Martin Luther King weekend. It's the longer meeting because we also do budget stuff in Raleigh-Durham. May 16th, 17th in Dallas. Locations within those cities to be announced. And that's it, I think. Is there any other business?
There's none on the agenda.
Any other board members have anything else we need to consider? Seeing none, I declare this meeting adjourned. We will see you in Louisville in November.